Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. The United States population is aging. An estimated 10,000 people turn 65 every day. And this country is experiencing a dramatic increase in the numbers of people who are living longer. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, there are just over 41 million people age 65 or older today. And that number is expected to reach 92 million by 2060, with 18 million age 85 or older. Now, because of rising health care costs, lack of affordable housing, and unemployment, millions of older people who rely on a fixed income are living in poverty. 9 million cannot pay their basic bills, and Social Security provides at least 90% of income to more than one-third of all seniors. Now, even those who are doing relatively well find themselves struggling as a result of retirement accounts that have lost value, reduced home values, and job losses. So on today's Your Call, we continue our Agenda for a New Economy series by focusing on this growing demographic. What challenges are they currently facing? What needs to be done to guarantee their economic security in the years to come? What role should the government play? And how is this demographic organizing to strengthen Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid at a time when politicians on both sides of the aisle say, quote, all options are on the table? How are you preparing if you're in this demographic or are about to enter it? At a recent talk at UCLA, AARP CEO Barry Rand asked, quote, what kind of America do we want? AARP wants a society in which everyone lives and ages with dignity and purpose, end quote. Today we are joined by Christina Clem, Associate State Director of Communications at AARP California. AARP is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization with a membership of more than 37 million. Hi, Christina. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Rose. Thank you for having me on.
It's great to have you on. We're also joined by Leslie Fried, Director of Policy and Programs at the National Council on Aging, an organization that seeks to create a more just and caring society in which all of us, as we age, can live with dignity, purpose, and security. And the National Council on Aging works with vulnerable older adults who face health and financial problems. And Leslie joins us from Washington, D.C. Hi, Leslie. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Rose.
Great to have you. And we're also joined by Tommy Avicola-Mecca. He's a San Francisco-based writer and activist who works closely with the LGBT community. And unfortunately, there hasn't been much research on LGBT seniors, and we will also talk about that today. And Tommy joins us from his office in San Francisco. Hi, Tommy. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, glad to be on.
It's great to have you. So first off, this is a huge topic, and I'm noticing that it's starting to get a little more attention in the national media. But Leslie, why don't we start off with you? What are we really facing here? I mean, it's kind of hard to wrap your head around the fact that an estimated 10,000 people turn 65 every day in this country.
Yes, I would agree. It's actually an estimated 10,000 become eligible for Medicare, but we know that there are over 23 million older adults, 60 and over, who are currently living, have an income below 250% of poverty, and every day have concerns about meeting their living expenses. And what really concerns us is this is a conversation really not happening right now in Washington, D.C. There's so much concern about cutting the debt that old services for older Americans, especially provided through the Administration on Aging, Meals on Wheels, transportation services, services that people rely on every day who are of lower income, these programs are getting slashed. Right. And so we're very concerned that this conversation is not happening. Or some of us are trying to promote these concerns in the halls of Congress, but we're really not getting many people listening to us. We do know under sequestration, which just went into effect, that some of our low-income programs, food stamps, all called CalFresh or SNAP, Medicaid, and some veterans benefits were protected. But these are really our the safety net programs We're very concerned that in the coming years that they may be subject to cuts as well.
So you brought up a number of things there. First of all, you said that 23 million people who are 60 and over have an income that's less than 250% of the poverty rate. Can you be specific about that number? Because that's sometimes confusing.
So it's approximately $27,000 annually for a single person and a $36,000 approximately annually for a couple. Now, when you add into that people have living expenses, they have, at this age, usually multiple chronic conditions. They have significant health expenses, utility, et cetera. This money goes quickly. And as I have indicated in the past, people are often one incident away from maybe losing their home or not being able to meet their daily living expenses. And there just does not seem to be an awareness within our country of the poverty or the needs of the of our older population.
And that is Lisa Fried with the National Council on Aging.
And Leslie Fried.
I'm sorry, Leslie.
That's all right.
Christina Clem works with AARP in California. And what would you add to that, Christina?
Well, everything that Leslie said is true. The 65-plus population are living right now on an average Social Security income of just a little bit over $1,200 a month. And it is really going to be the only secure retirement coming up in the future for most older Americans. Particularly vulnerable is the 50 to 64 population who do not yet qualify for Medicare or Social Security. They've seen significant losses with the economic decline that happened in 2008. They have less money coming in. They've had to tap into their retirement, their security, in order to pay down basic living expenses. Some are drawing money from equity in their home in order to make living expenses. And then the unemployment rate for the 50 and over population is almost twice that of their younger demographic. So once we see someone in the 50 and older population get into the unemployment status, they're looking at almost a year of being unemployed before they're able to find work again. So there really is a lot of boulders that are piling up in the way of many people who had actually been planning pretty well for retirement, and then with the economic recession that happened, are really struggling in order to try and recoup their losses. So they're pushing back their retirement. They're facing increased health care costs that are really significantly impacting their living situation. And one of our reports that came out a couple of months ago is this fact that they're actually carrying more credit card debt than the younger populations, not because of frivolous actions, but making basic living expenses, prescription drugs, car repairs, rent, things like that. So there really is a bit of a struggle going on with this 50 and older group.
Well, it's amazing to hear both of you describe the realities that this population is facing. And yet, why aren't we hearing more about this? I mean, Leslie just said she feels like D.C. isn't listening. And Christina, AARP is a powerful organization in Washington. Are politicians listening to members of AARP?
Well, we have seen some movement. We are definitely very active right now in the state and in the federal with working against the chain CPI that has been proposed for renegotiating the way that Social Security income is calculated, and we're still in that fight. And we do see that we've got some legislators that are on our side, but there's a long way to go. Here in the state of California, we're facing budget crisis just like the rest of the country. And, we're being very active legislatively, particularly right now in getting the Affordable Care Act in so we can handle some of the health care costs. So politicians definitely know what's going on. I think I think sometimes the magnitude of it is just so large that sometimes we just don't know where to start. So they're listening. They know that it's an issue, but it's so complex, and it really touches so many different people that I think some people are kind of hoping it'll go away, which it won't. And I think what really needs to happen and what we inspire our members to do is for people to really keep in touch with their legislators.
And that is Christina Clem. She's with AARP California. And we're also joined by Tommy Avicola-Mecca. He's a San Francisco-based activist who works closely with the LGBT community. And Tommy, before we specifically talk about the LGBT community, the Chronicle had a really good piece in the last year called Low-Income Seniors Struggle in San Francisco. And they write that about a quarter of San Francisco's senior citizens, 40,000 people, live on about $1,300 a month. And this is in a town where it's hard to get a studio now for $2,000 a month. So, I mean, how are San Franciscans faring here?
I think San Franciscans are faring pretty awfully right now, especially seniors. It is a really difficult city to live in for anybody, unless, of course, you're making a six-figure salary or more. Here in the LGBT community, I mean, we know already from studies that LGBT seniors are poorer than their straight counterparts. LGBT seniors are half as likely to have health insurance, two-thirds as likely to live alone. And then there's the whole issue of discrimination in nursing homes, in services. Even here in San Francisco, there's reports of LGBT seniors feeling as if they have to go back in the closet in order to live in a facility because they're afraid of the reaction of the other seniors who live there, of the staff. They often have to hide their partners if their partners come to visit. Their chosen families often are not welcome. There's just a whole lot of issues, but that's all compounded by the fact that the housing situation here is so horrendous. The median rent is $3,000 a month in San Francisco. The vacancy rate is very low. Most people in San Francisco are renters. A lot of seniors, including LGBT seniors, are living in rent-controlled units because the majority of our rental stock is rent-controlled. And they live in absolute dread that they're going to get evicted, that the landlord is going to sell the building to some real estate speculator who's going to evict them all under a state law called the Ellis Act, and then sell their apartments for tenancies in common. Meanwhile, the senior has nowhere to go. Where does someone go, as you said, who's living on $1,300 a month when the median average rent in San Francisco is $3,000? It just doesn't work. So people are living in absolute dread that their building is going to be sold.
Well, and then you also have LGBT seniors of color, which adds a mm-hmm. completely different layer to this. New America Media has a great section on their page called Elders, and they had a piece in February for Black History Month called Black LGBT Elders Face History of Isolation. And they quoted a number of people who just said they don't even feel welcome in the Castro,
right,
which is kind of hard to believe.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's absolutely true. And I would add to that there's also a homeless youth population. It doesn't feel welcome there, a homeless LGBT youth population. But I think even in terms of LGBT, you know, it really is horrible. It's really it's not good right now being an LGBT senior.
Well, and I'd love to get listeners in on this because it is such a massive issue, and it's just starting to get more attention in the national media as these numbers are trickling out that an estimated 10,000 people turn 65 every day in this country. And I just got this red alert from the Campaign for America's Future that said, terrible news, according to the Wall Street Journal, quote, the White House is strongly considering including limits on entitlement benefits in its fiscal 2014 budget. And of course, we know that means Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. And they're saying, please warn the president, do not sell out our retirement security. No Social Security, Medicare, or Medicaid cuts in the budget. This just came out a couple of hours ago. So what are your thoughts on this? If you are in this growing demographic, what sorts of challenges are you facing? What are your everyday realities? If you're about to enter it, how are you planning? And then what do you see around you? Because regardless of our age, we see older people around us. How are they faring? And what role should the government play here? And how should older people organize to strengthen things like Social Security and Medicare? The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. And if you're over 50, 55, how have you been affected by the economic crisis? You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website, yourcallradio.org. We're joined today by Tommy Avicola-Mecca, a San Francisco-based activist who works closely with the LGBT community. Leslie Fried is Director of Policy and Programs at the National Council on Aging. And Christina Clem is Associate State Director of Communications with AARP California. And let's hear from Ruthann in El Cerrito. Hi, Ruthann. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. Thank you very much for doing this show. What I wanted to pose is that even if the federal government is skirting around, you know, we're not going to cut entitlements, they're cleverly, I just read a piece that someone, I'm a member of the San Francisco Gray Panthers, and someone mailed me a copy of an article by Robert Peer that I think recently appeared in the New York Times that is talking about changing the way that they compute Medicare, in that most of the people, I'm one of them, I have Medicare as a senior and a person with a disability, about 80% of the people who use Medicare take advantage or make use of Part B, which is outpatient doctor visits, durable medical equipment, tests, things that are not inpatient. Only about 10, 20% of the people make use of Part A, which is inpatient hospitalization. The difference in the deductibles is staggering. Inpatient deductible is like $1,800 a visit, whereas the Part B deductible for the year is under $200. And what they're proposing, this article said, is combining Part A and Part B deductible for beneficiaries, which is a, I'm thinking, an underhanded way of raising the deductible for everyone. So they would make all Medicare beneficiaries pay a deductible combination of Part A and Part B of, may not be the exact figure, of something close to or over $1,000, which would really zap people who have Medicare, seniors and people with disabilities, because their out-of-pocket costs are going to skyrocket. And so if they continue to use the predominantly Part B, which is outpatient doctor visits and equipment and things like that, they're going to be paying like four times as much in their deductible.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in, Ruthann. Leslie, do you know the details of this? Can you talk
I
about
do.
That?
Okay. This has been a proposal that has been out there for several years. It's called Reforming Medicare. And the principle behind it is that, as with most employer insurance, or unlike most employer insurance, Medicare has separate deductibles and separate coinsurance and copayments. And this proposal, which has had a variety of iterations in general, is to combine the Part A and Part B deductible. It would be the deductible would be less than the Part A portion, but higher than Part B, and then generally covered have 20% co-share cost sharing across the board. It would be an increased cost to many beneficiaries who do not use the hospital service as much, but for the smaller percentage of Medicare beneficiaries who do use hospital services a lot, the inpatient hospital services, it would be a reduction in cost. 90% of Medicare beneficiaries have some sort of secondary insurance, either a Medigap or Medicare supplement insurance or Medicaid. But again, there's suggestions that there be changes to the Medigap policies as well. So I would agree with your caller, as well with Robert Peer, that this is a way of trying to reform the Medicare program, and in fact, it will would probably result in increased costs to many benefit Medicare beneficiaries.
Well, Leslie, what are you hearing in Washington, D.C. about possible cuts to these programs?
So what we're hearing, and they don't use the word cut, they use the word reform.
Uh-huh.
They feel that with, especially with Medicare and the Medicare Trust Fund, that is currently set to run out in 2024, that there's absolutely a need to address the cost. However, many advocates feel that this is not necessarily a Medicare-only issue. This is a health care system issue. And, in fact, under the Affordable Care Act, there were quite a few, there was quite a lot in the Affordable Care Act that deals with changes in health care delivery. So we shouldn't really just be focusing on Medicare when it's really the entire health care system. And that's sort of the approach that many of us are taking.
Right. And to that point, Christina, there was an event in March last month, by the SCAN Foundation, and it found that the system for financing long-term care is failing and the window for creating a payment system that works is rapidly closing.
Yes, you're right. Actually, we're pretty active in that collective, too. Long-term care insurance seems to be this anomaly that the insurance companies don't quite know how much to charge. You know, we need to have something there for future generations, particularly as people are living longer with chronic conditions. And then there is a misperception from the public that insurance will pay for long-term care, which it doesn't. Right now, in order to get long-term care services, you essentially have to deplete all of your savings and then end up going on to what Medi-Cal here in California, and then Medi-Cal pays for some of that. So there are some great minds that are trying to figure out how to put something in place in order to help this growing population. The Affordable Care Act had a provision in it called the CLASS Act that ended up being repealed that we were in favor of, that established a national long-term care program. But with instituting the Affordable Care Act and looking into what the real costs would be for long-term care, they ended up finding it to be unfeasible. So it's a conundrum, and it's also one of those things, too, that I think it's not just an issue with legislators and trying to find a way in order to deliver our health care and deliver our health care services in a better, more effective way. I think there's also a misperception and kind of a denial within the older public that this is something that they are going to need, and many of them are in a section of the population right now that if they started to buy into long-term care, the monthly rates are actually quite expensive. So it's definitely something that AARP, we're focused on here in California, working to shore up in-home supportive services. We're working on a dual eligible project that is a pilot program between Medicare and Medi-Cal that helps working on coordinating care. So we've got some pilot programs that are coming up, but a lot of long-term care is really still up in the air.
We're going to take a quick break. Today on Your Call, we're continuing our Agenda for a New Economy series by talking about the growing older population. An estimated 10,000 people turn 65 every day in this country because of so many things that we're talking about today: rising health care costs, lack of affordable housing, unemployment, millions of older people who rely on a fixed income are living in poverty. 9 million can't pay their bills. And so what are you facing right now? And what are the solutions to these issues? It's Your Call, and we'll be back after this.
This is Your Call on KALW, a show that depends on engaged listeners. We invite you to join today's conversation by calling 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255, or you can post a comment or question at yourcallradio.org. You'll also find there links related to today's show. It's also where you can sign up for the show's weekly email newsletter. Just click on the email newsletter link on the right side of the page at yourcallradio.org. Programming on KALW is supported in part by An Evening with David Sedaris. In celebration of his newest title, David will be visiting San Francisco's War Memorial Opera House Sunday, May 5th, for an evening of all new readings and recollections. Tickets and information at davidsedarisontour.com.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, Hana Baba will host a conversation about how adults should prepare children for racism and prejudice in society. Studies show that the experience of racism affects a child's development and sense of self. So if you're a parent, educator, or if you work with young people, how are you helping children confront discrimination? That is tomorrow. And then also tomorrow, I'll be moderating an event at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco. It'll be a debate about whether marijuana should be legalized with Kevin Sabet. He's a former senior advisor to President Obama's drug czar. And Clint Warner is author of Marijuana Gateway to Health, How Cannabis Protects Us from Cancer and Alzheimer's. That's tomorrow at the Commonwealth Club at noon. And you can find more information on our Facebook page. Today, we are continuing our agenda for a new economy series by talking about the growing older population. An estimated 10,000 people turn 65 every day. And this issue is starting to get some more attention in the national media. But what's getting the most attention is the fact that politicians on both sides of the aisle say that Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid are, quote, on the table. The Wall Street Journal actually just came out with a piece that says, quote, the White House is strongly considering including limits on entitlement benefits in its fiscal 2014 budget. So what are your thoughts about this? How should this growing demographic organize? Because it is a huge voting bloc. Politicians pay very close attention to this demographic. How should they, and if you're part of it, how are you organizing to strengthen things like Social Security? And then also, what challenges are you facing right now? What changes have you seen over the past couple of years? We've got full lines, but we'll have a couple lines open in a few minutes at 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback at yourcallradio.org. We're joined today by Christina Clem, Associate State Director of Communications at AARP California, Leslie Fried, Director of Policy and Programs at the National Council on Aging. Tommy Avicolameca is a San Francisco-based writer and activist who closely works with the LGBT community. And why don't we go to a couple more phone calls? Let's hear from Greg in Palo Alto. Hi, Greg. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you. Turn down my radio. A couple of issues. Try to go through this as quickly as I can. I'm a senior. I'm nearly 70 years old and on Medicare. I'm also, unfortunately, on SSI. My annual income on SSI is $10,392. So, you know, I'm far below the statistics that you mentioned or your guest mentioned earlier in the program. It is a real hardship, and I think it's going to get much worse. There's no doubt about it in my mind. I think, obviously, single payer is the only way to go. How you organize the people in this country to try and move towards single payer is beyond me. I would say one thing about AARP. I haven't joined AARP for a lot of reasons, but one of the things that I've been disgruntled about, I guess, with regard to AARP is that I've never seen AARP really push for single payer, and that's the only solution to this problem as far as I'm concerned. I also throw this out every time I call in. I know that class warfare, maybe people get, you know, they drown, that it just goes by the wayside when they hear it, but that's exactly what this is. What's going on in Europe, I think we're going to be seeing sort of a slow motion deterioration in the United States regard to this, and it's almost criminal to look at this when you think that we spend over $1 trillion on defense spending. And I guess you know, the thing that really is appalling to me is that there seems to be such an incredible disconnect between our elected officials and the populace in this country. They don't seem at the state or a national level to have any concern about the fact that what you're talking about on the program today is happening. And I'm afraid that if people don't really get organized, and this may mean starting to take more actions like, you know, direct action with regard to this issue, I'm afraid that it's just going to get worse rather than better.
Well, you brought up a lot of points. Thank you so much for calling in. And Christina, where does the AARP stand on single payer or Medicare for all?
Sure. Actually, AARP is would love to see a single payer system work. You know, the Medicare system itself is kind of a pseudo single payer, and when you actually pull people who are on Medicare, they find it a very satisfying program. Our challenge when we're going to the legislature at the federal level is the will just isn't there with the legislators, and we'd like to focus on rolling out the Affordable Care Act, expanding health care coverage to about 30 million Americans at this point, and see how that goes, and really kind of take it one step at a time. AARP definitely isn't opposed to a single-payer system. It's just the political will right now isn't there, and so we just don't think it's a feasible time to try and broker that.
Tommy, did you want to jump in?
Yeah. Actually, I want to say I'm 61 years old, and I want to say that I've done a lot of really daring things in my life and confronted a lot of really horrible things. I mean, I came out in 1970, and coming out in the 70s was not an easy thing to do. And I always say that as much the horrible things that I faced in the 70s when I came out as a 19-year-old don't compare to getting old in this country. I am so terrified. I am more terrified of getting old in this country than I ever was as a 19-year-old coming out of the closet and facing, getting gay bashed, which I was several times, and all of that, because I don't feel that I really have any safety nets. I have a 70-year-old brother who is still working two jobs because he cannot retire because of the reality of things. I come from the working class. My other brother is 67 and also is in a position where he may never be able to retire. I think it's outrageous that in this country the members of Congress have the power to decide the quality of my life as a senior. And the reality is that those folks get to retire, and they get socialized medicine for the rest of their lives, and they get a nice pension, and they will never, ever have to suffer the way that the rest of us seniors have to suffer and worry about what's going to happen to us in the future. And I find that totally reprehensible and immoral. Single payer is the only way to go. And if the will isn't at Congress, then, like the caller said, I think we need to mobilize and we need to make them understand that we want what they get. We want guarantees. We want safety nets like they have when they get to our age.
Well, John unfortunately had to drop, but he wanted to call in to say he has AIDS. He's 68 years old and he's still working to just afford his medication.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, Tommy, when it comes to organizing, I mean, here you are asking, a 68-year-old like John, who's working to afford his meds, to organize. I mean, what does that look like?
And well, unfortunately, it's going to have to happen. Uh-huh. I mean, I understand that it's not going to be easy for a 68-year-old with AIDS. But, the reality is in the late 80s, people with AIDS organized in ACT UP, organized and changed the way this country looked at that disease, totally changed it. I remember in the 80s when that disease first struck, it was considered gay men were getting what we deserved. That was the attitude of, I would say, 90% of Americans. The president of the United States would not touch the issue because of his right-wing connections. I mean, we were basically condemned to die as gay men when that disease struck. And we turned that around, and we turned it around by hitting the streets and by sometimes doing the most outrageous things imaginable. But we turned the attitudes around. We can do that again with health care, because the reality is health care, the way I look at it, if we don't have health care, then you are condemning us to die. And the fact that we don't have single payer, like my relatives in Argentina who have national health care, the two of my cousins there are retired. And they're living fine. I mean, they're not wealthy by any means, but they're living fine because they have their health care guaranteed, and they have pensions from their teacher jobs, that they had during their lives. So they're living a hell of a lot better than I'm ever going to live, and a lot better than my siblings are going to live, and that health care makes the big difference. But we got to mobilize. We got to mobilize in this country.
That is Tommy Avicola-Mecca. He's a San Francisco-based writer and activist who works closely with the LGBT community. Leslie Fried is Director of Policy and Programs at the National Council on Aging. Christina Clem is Associate State Director of Communications at AARP California. And on today's Your Call, we continue our Agenda for a New Economy series by focusing on the growing aging demographic. We still have full lines. We'll have a line open in a few minutes. You can email us feedback@yourcallradio.org, and we'll do our best to read it on the air. Or you can leave a comment on our website so others can see it. And thanks again for calling in, Greg. Let's go next to Don in San Francisco. Hi, Don. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rose. I live in San Francisco. I'm on Medicare and Social Security. If not for rent control, I'd be out on the streets. Mm-hmm. In terms of organizing, I belong to a group called Single Payer Now, and tomorrow when Obama comes to a town to dine at the Getty Mansion, we're going to have a rally on the corner of Divisadero and Pacific Avenue from 5 to 6:30. Asking Obama to expand Medicare to everyone and not cut it, and to support the national single-payer legislation, H.R. 676. That would save $400 billion a year. Not to mention, it would provide health care for everybody. And I want one other little tiny note. Isn't it wonderful that we're living longer? I mean, I don't like this. Sometimes we get caught up in, like, oh, my God, living longer is a problem for the country. It's fantastic that here in civilization, we're living longer. So I just think that's a wonderful thing we should always be thankful for, that we do have this. Now we just have to figure out what's not on the table. What's not on the table nationally is ending the disparities of wealth in this country, where the rich are getting all the products of our labor, and we're asked to cut back so they can get wealthier. So anyway, if you want to do something, go tomorrow at 5 o'clock to Divisadero and Pacific Avenue and ask for a national health care program.
Yes, thank you. And we'll put a link about the rally at our website. President Obama will be in town tomorrow, and then Thursday he'll be at a brunch and lunch. It'll cost you $32,400 per plate for the brunch and lunch. So thank you for calling in. And let's go next to Judy in San Francisco. Hi, Judy. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. Well, actually, Don just said what I was going to say, but I would just add that demonstration is also going to be in support of Medicaid and Medicare remaining just the way they are. I mean, Medicaid and Social Security remaining just they are, as they are. So you can pay $5,000 a plate to talk to Obama in person and tell him what you think, or you can go to the rally and try to make it really big to send a message not only to Obama but to all the people who might be watching TV or listening to the radio about it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling in, Judy. And Christina, because the AARP has such a history of successful organizing and it is such a massive voting bloc, which is just about to explode, what would you say has worked in the past, and what have you really learned over the past 5 years as things have gotten so ugly in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, you know, we're fortunate that the 50-plus generation, which is our membership, comprises boomers who have always been very active within vocalizing what they needed. With the advent of technology, it's actually been really great for us to help mobilize our members. People would be surprised how much visiting your local elected official's office, calling them, sending emails. You know, we are able to generate quite a bit through electronic messaging to our members. And, you know, it's been part of we're almost into a two-year campaign, which is really telling our members that their voice needs to be added to it. You know, there are a lot of us stakeholders, you know, like Leslie and Tommy and AARP that are there and that are visiting the politicians and that are getting into the table within these legislative bodies, but we really need their constituents to talk and rally just like they're doing tomorrow to make the voters' voice heard. It's incredibly powerful. You know, we as AARP have been able to stave off at the federal level cuts to Social Security, cuts to physician, you know, reimbursement benefits, all sorts of different things simply by mobilizing people to contact their legislators. So that's something that, you know, if there's one thing that I could suggest to your listeners and to your callers, in order to affect change, in order to kind of turn this bleak, I love Don's got some positive energy going there. In order to kind of turn this bleak picture around, the number one thing that you can do is start really getting active with your politicians and with your legislators. You elected them, and so you have a right to tell them how you feel things should be done.
Go ahead, Leslie.
This is Leslie, and I just want to add to that, because when we are in offices on Capitol Hill, we hear from their staff, well, we're not hearing from people about X, or we're not hearing from people about Y. So it's really important for constituents to contact their legislature and tell them what they want and what they don't want. And with regard to tomorrow's rally, I think it's great that Medicaid is being included. The president's budget is coming out next week. He has said that Medicaid is going to be protected. It's not going to be cut. But it's really important to keep the pressure on, because Medicaid is the ultimate safety net for Medicare beneficiaries, but for people who are not on Medicare and who are low income and who do not have access to any health care right now.
We have an email from Juan who says, little by little, the cost of living goes up, not just gas and food. In the past year, my Medicare AARP supplemental insurance increased $20 a month, and my AARP Part D premiums has gone up as well as my copays. The real killer is Social Security, under its, quote, windfall provision, denies me about half of my monthly benefits because I started teaching when I was 52 years old, so my teacher's retirement is not that much. Wow. Well, thank you for the email, Juan, and thanks for sharing your story. And we've got just about 10 minutes left, so if you'd like to weigh in and share your story and talk about, you know, what successful organizing actually looks like on these issues, we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255. We're talking about the growing older population today. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website, yourcallradio.org. And let's hear next from Jeff in Berkeley. Hi, Jeff. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. I'm retired. I'm 71, and Social Security is a big part of my pension. I have health care through Kaiser, but the thing that has frustrated me about AARP, and I'm also a member, is the fact they supported in 2003 the Bush
Medicare prescription.
But they are in the insurance business through their Hartford auto products and through their own medical insurance program. They really have a conflict of interest. They get substantial income on rebates from that. You can't have it both ways. You have to be separate.
Well, hold on. Let's get a response from Christina.
Actually, you know, we're proud of what our association has done for insurance. That's how AARP started. Was our founder banded together to try and get group insurance for retired teachers who were living in abysmal poverty. So it's been something that we've been helping with because of a request from that demographic for more than 50 years. AARP does receive royalties from services that we have approved to use our logo, and we run that back into our policy and our lobbying efforts. And so I understand it's a comment that we hear every now and again, but we offer these products because there is still a need for people to have secure insurance benefits, and it's something that we continue to. It would be a wonderful world if we could get to the point where, you know, you didn't have to offer something special for the 50-plus because other agencies are, you know, requiring medical examinations in order to qualify insurance. But as long as a need is out there and that our members are asking for it, we're still going to provide it. And just so your callers know, you know, like I said, that we do receive royalties from that, but that's what goes to fund our fights that we're doing here in California with the California legislature and at the national level, you know, trying to keep Medicare and Social Security solvent for the next generation.
And just quickly, Christina, because single-payer did pass under Schwarzenegger a few times and he vetoed it, what are you hearing right now in Sacramento about where that stands?
Single-payer isn't coming up right now because we're all really focused on trying to roll out the Affordable Care Act and have it up and running and ready to go so people can enroll in October. So right now we're really focused on trying to make sure that the provisions of the ACA are implemented here in California. We're in a good spot to where we have the infrastructure that few other states have. So that's really what's the focus for 2013, is making sure that that is available so we can expand coverage to, we're looking at about 6 million Californians once that rolls around. So those are what we're really focused on this year, is really getting the Affordable Care Act up and running.
It's also important, though, to say, the Chronicle had an article about this the other day, that healthcare costs are still going up, even with this new legislation.
Yes, it doesn't really roll out the full effects until 2014. We have seen some benefits with the ACA and the 50-plus demographic, particularly in closing the donut hole with Medicare Part D. That gap is slowly closing. People are saving an average about $750 a year on what they were having to pay for some of their prescription drugs. So there are some slow incremental things coming, and we hope once it rolls out in 2014, the expanded coverage will help keep the costs at a sustainable level. And then the next fight is really working on controlling health care costs, expanding coverage first, making sure people are available to go and see their doctors. And then the next step is working on controlling health care costs. We're doing some of that with medications at the federal level.
Jeff, are you still there? Oh, I think we lost Jeff. All right. Jeff? All right, we lost Jeff. Sorry about that, but thank you for calling, Jeff. We've got time for one more call. We're going to end on solutions here. Let's hear from Trudy in Richmond. Hi, Trudy. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm sitting here, trying to figure out how I'm going to move because I've been evicted and I need health care and everything. But the one thing that I'm hearing is you can go and talk to the politicians tomorrow at thousands of dollars a plate. And that's exactly what we cannot afford. So the people who get to talk to Obama have money. And Obama, therefore, is no better than any other politician with what he's doing. And I don't see anything really good happening.
Well, thank you. Again, he'll be in Atherton on Thursday for this $32,000 a plate meal. Actually, we have a few emails from people who are just incredibly fed up and say that they don't believe the politicians, who are also many of them aging themselves, are going to really take real action on this. So why don't we end with all of you talking about, what really are we facing here with 10,000 people turning 65 every day? And at a time when Campaign for America's Future is a liberal group sending out this red alert saying Obama budget to cut Social Security. I mean, what can people actually do about this? Tommy, what are your thoughts here?
I think the only solution is that the American people have to just really rise up. And I know that's an old left cliche, but the reality is I don't think the American people have gotten angry enough, have really understood how much power they might have if they just got disgusted and hit the streets and started mobilizing like never before. The reality is nothing works anymore in this country. All of our safety nets are crumbling. I see it here in San Francisco. There really is no guarantees for anybody, especially for seniors who are facing old age with, very little income and with rising costs all around them. I think the only solution is people have got to get so angry that they do what Occupy did 2 or 3 years ago, but do it on even a grander scale, and that it has to be millions and millions of people just saying, we're fed up and we don't care what you politicians say. This is what we want, and you got to do it. And if you don't do it, we're going to kick you all out of office.
Leslie, what would you add to that?
So on a different note, what I would like to say is that There are a host of public and private benefits available now to low-income older adults or even moderately income older adults that I don't think people know about. We have a screening tool called benefitscheckup.org, and people can not put in their name but put in where they live, what their income is, and look at what benefits they may be eligible for right now. California has one of the lowest eligible but not enrolled CalFresh benefits for older people. The older people who are eligible but not receiving CalFresh benefits,
and they're
one of the worst in the country.
And that's food? Right.
That is food. And if people can get food stamps or CalFresh benefits, that frees up some money to pay other bills like rent or utilities or other expenses. So we may not be able to rise up tomorrow, but there are currently benefits now that are on the table, eligible for low and moderate income older adults, and I would encourage people to do that now.
Because we've got 8 million older people in this country who can't afford food.
Mm-hmm. Let me say, we have only one-third of older adults eligible for SNAP benefits are receiving them.
Wow, one-third.
That means two-thirds are not even applying.
Yeah,
and those are people who are eligible.
You know, it'd be good to do a show actually just about this, about what is available out there, because it is the system is hard to navigate. So I'll put that on our list. And Christina, final thoughts from you?
You know, Leslie's right. That's an excellent benefit for people to check into. I would say, you know, people, it's true. People really need to start contacting their legislators. One of the most powerful things that we do as an organization is collecting stories from our members. And then we go to visit legislators. We put those stories on the table and say, these are the people that live in your district, and these are the problems that they're having. So people really need, I know that everybody has kind of hunkered down because it's been so difficult the last few years with the economy. But it's just a phone call. It's an email. People really need to start putting into the legislators to help complement some of the stuff that we're doing at the federal and state level.
Christina Clem is Associate State Director of Communications with AARP California, Leslie Fried, Director of Policy at the National Council on Aging, and Tommy Avicola-Mecca is a San Francisco-based writer and activist who works closely with the LGBT community. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. Here's what's coming up on Your Call tomorrow. How should adults prepare children for racism and prejudice in society? On the next Your Call, we'll talk about how kids deal with racism. Studies show that the experience of racism can affect a child's development and sense of self. So what tools do kids need to cope with it, both from their parents and their peers? Join us at 10 or email feedback@yourcallradio.org. If you're a parent, educator, or someone who works with youth, how do you help children confront discrimination? It's Your Call with Hannah Baba and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To sign up for our podcast or newsletter, or to share the show on Facebook or Twitter, visit yourcallradio.org. Malihe Raz is on, and Ali Budner produced the show. Matt Martin is our executive producer. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer, and Joe Burke is the studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.